Welcome to day 219 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are going to begin the reading of the book of the prophet Jeremiah. This is a book that's 52 chapters in length, and it's quite a fascinating book. And the prophet Jeremiah, just to give you a little bit of background, actually gives us biographical information about himself in the very first chapter. We actually do know more about Jeremiah than about a lot of the other prophets because he does include some of that information in his text. Jeremiah was the son of a priest named Hilkiah. Most scholars believe that this was actually Hilkiah, the high priest, that was the one that King Josiah received the scroll from the temple from him, and it was the beginning of a great revival, a spiritual revival in the kingdom of Judah. So he was raised in an atmosphere of revival, turning toward the Lord. But his message that God was going to give him was a message that was very sobering. It was a message of judgment upon Judah, about ultimate captivity in Babylon. It was a message of destruction of Jerusalem. And none of these messages were messages that the people wanted to hear. So he was going to quite literally be an outcast among his own people, not loved or well-liked or received. And not only that, the Lord told him not to marry, which was undoubtedly good advice because the time in which Jeremiah prophesied was a sorrow-filled time. The people of Judah were under oppression from Egypt during his time of prophecy. Then they went into captivity to the Babylonians, who crushed the Egyptians and then took all the Israelites, or many of the Israelites, away to Babylon. And so he prophesied during a most sad and tumultuous season in the lives of the Israelites. Jeremiah was called to the ministry of the prophet at a very young age and commissioned to begin his work at the age of about 21 years old. He was prophesying during the reign of King Josiah and continued on for more than 40 years. So he saw many kings that followed the good King Josiah and those that were taken into captivity into Babylon. Jeremiah has often been called the weeping prophet because of the sorrow-filled messages that he had to deliver about Judah and Jerusalem. So we're going to begin today at Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at verse 1, and this week we're reading from the Amplified Bible. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, 2 or 3 miles north of Jerusalem, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem into captivity in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Say not, I am only a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of the nations and of the kingdoms, to root out and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch or a shoot of an almond tree, the emblem of alertness and activity blossoming in late winter. Then said the Lord to me, You have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, What do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and the face of it is tipped away from the north, its mouth about to pour forth on the south, on Judea. Then the Lord said to me, Out of the north, the evil which the prophets had foretold as the result of national sin shall disclose itself and break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I will call all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord, and they will come and set every one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against it all its walls round about, and against all the cities of Judah, as God's judicial act, a consequence of Judah's wickedness. And I will utter my judgments against them for all the wickedness of those who have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands, idols. But you, Jeremiah, gird up your loins, arise and tell them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed and break down at the sight of their faces, lest I confound you before them and permit you to be overcome. For I, behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the successive kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land, giving you divine strength which no hostile power can overcome. And they shall fight against you, but they shall not finally prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Chapter 2. And the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I earnestly remember the kindness and devotion of your youth, your love after your betrothal in Egypt and marriage at Sinai, when you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holiness, something set apart from ordinary purposes, dedicated to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest, of which no stranger was allowed to partake. All who ate of it, injuring Israel, offended and became guilty. Evil came upon them, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, What unrighteousness did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and habitually went after emptiness, falseness, and futility, and themselves became fruitless and worthless? Nor did they say, Where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death and deep darkness, through a land that no man passes through and where no man dwells? And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination, detestable and loathsome. Even the priests did not say, Where is the Lord? And those who handled the law given by God to Moses knew me not. The rulers and secular shepherds also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by the authority and in the name of Baal, and followed after things that do not profit. Therefore, I will still contend with you, by inflicting further judgments on you, says the Lord, and with your children's children will I contend. For cross over to the coasts of Cyprus, to the west, and see. Send also to Kedar, to the east, and carefully consider, and see whether there has been such a thing as this. Has a nation ever changed its gods, even though they are not gods? But my people have changed their glory, God, for that which does not profit. Be astonished and appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked and shrivel up with horror, says the Lord, at the behavior of the people. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which cannot hold water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why has he become a captive and a prey? The young lions have roared over him and made their voices heard, and they have made his land a waste. His cities are burned ruins without inhabitant. Moreover, the children of Memphis and Tapanes, Egypt, have in times past shown their power as a foe. They have broken and fed on the crown of your head, Israel, so do not rely on them as an ally now. Have you not brought this upon yourself by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? And now, what have you to gain by allying yourself with Egypt and going her way to drink the black and roiled waters of the Nile? Or what have you to gain in going the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Your own wickedness shall chasten and correct you, and your backslidings and desertion of faith shall reprove you. Know, therefore, and recognize that this is an evil and bitter thing. First, you have forsaken the Lord your God. Second, you are indifferent to me, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. For long ago in Egypt, I broke your yoke and burst your bonds, not that you might be free, but that you might serve me. And long ago you shattered the yoke and snapped the bonds of my law, which I put upon you. You said, I will not serve and obey you. For upon every high hill and under every green tree you eagerly prostrated yourself in idolatrous worship, playing the harlot. Yet I had planted you, O house of Israel, a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned into degenerate shoots of wild vine alien to me? For though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity and guilt are still upon you. You are spotted, dirty, and stained before me, says the Lord. How can you say, I am not defiled? I have not gone after the Baals, other gods. Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a restive young female camel in the uncontrollable violence of her brute passion, eagerly running hither and thither. Or you have the untamed and reckless nature of a wild donkey used to the desert, in her heat sniffing the wind for the scent of a male. In her mating season, who can restrain her? No male seeking her need weary themselves. In her month they will find her seeking them. Cease from your mad running after idols, from which you get nothing but bitter injury. Keep your feet from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, it is hopeless, for I have loved strangers and foreigners, and after them I will go. As the thief is brought to shame when he is caught, so shall the house of Israel be brought to shame. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, inasmuch as they say to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave me birth. For they have turned their backs to me and not their faces, But in the time of their trouble, they say, Arise, O Lord, and save us. But where are your gods that you made for yourself? Let them arise if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For as many as the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Surely so many handmade idols should be able to help you. Why do you complain and remonstrate against my wrath? For you have rebelled and revolted against me, says the Lord. In vain have I stricken your children, your people. They receive no discipline, no correction. Your own sword devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation that you are, behold, consider, and regard the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, like a land without food, a land of deep darkness, like a way without light? Why do my people say, We have broken loose, we are free, and will roam at large? We will come no more to you. Can a maid forget and neglect to wear her ornaments, or a bride her marriage girdle with its significance like that of a wedding ring? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number. How do you deck yourself and direct your way to procure adulterous love? Because of it, even wicked women have learned indecent ways from you. Also, on your skirts is found the lifeblood of the persons of the innocent poor. You did not find them housebreaking, nor have I found it out by secret search. But it is because of your lust for idolatry that you have done all these things. That is everywhere evident. Yet you keep saying, I am innocent. Surely his anger has turned away from me. Behold, I will bring you to judgment and will plead against you because you say I have not sinned. Why do you gad or wander about so much to change your way? You shall be put to shame by Egypt as you were put to shame by Assyria. From Egypt also you will come away with your hands upon your head, for the Lord has rejected those in whom you confide, and you will not prosper with respect to them. Chapter 3. That is to say, if a man puts away his wife, and she goes from him, and becomes another man's, will he return to her again? Of course not. Would not that land, where such a thing happened, be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot against me, with many lovers, yet would you now return to me, says the Lord? Or do you even think to return to me? Lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see, where have you not been adulterously lain with? By the wayside you have sat waiting for lovers, eager for idolatry, like an Arabian desert tribesman who waits to plunder in the wilderness. And you have polluted the land with your vile harlotry, and your wickedness, unfaithfulness, and disobedience to God. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no spring rain. Yet you have the brow of a prostitute. You refuse to be ashamed. Have you not just now cried to me, My father, you were the guide and companion of my youth? Will he retain his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have so spoken, but you have done all the evil things you could, and have had your way, and have carried them through. Moreover, the Lord said to me, Jeremiah, in the days of Josiah the king of Judah, Have you seen what that faithless and backsliding Israel has done? How she went up on every high hill and under every green tree and there played the harlot? And I said, After she has done all these things, she will return to me. But she did not return, and her faithless and treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, even though Judah knew, that for this very cause of committing idolatry, I, the Lord, had put faithless Israel away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her faithless and treacherous sister Judah was not afraid, but she also went and played the harlot, following after idols. and through the infamy and unseemly frivolity of Israel's whoredom, because her immorality mattered little to her, she polluted and defiled the land by her idolatry, committing adultery with idols of stones and trees. But in spite of all this, her faithless and treacherous sister Judah did not return to me in sincerity and with her whole heart, but only in sheer hypocrisy has she feigned obedience to King Josiah's reforms, says the Lord. And the Lord said to me, backsliding and faithless Israel has shown herself less guilty than false and treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, where the 10 tribes have been taken as captives, and say, return, faithless Israel, says the Lord, and I will not cause my countenance to fall and look in anger upon you. For I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not keep my anger forever. Only know, understand, and acknowledge your iniquity and guilt, that you have rebelled and transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your favors among strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O faithless children of the whole 12 tribes, says the Lord. For I am Lord and Master and husband to you, and I will take you, not as a nation, but individually, one from a city and two from a tribal family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you spiritual shepherds after my own heart in the final time, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding and judgment. And it shall be that when you have multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, they shall no more say, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they seriously remember it, nor shall they miss or visit it, nor shall it be repaired or made again. For instead of the ark, which represented God's presence, he will show himself to be present throughout the city. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it in the renown and name of the Lord to Jerusalem. Nor shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their own evil hearts. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and together they shall come out of the land of the north to the land that I gave as an inheritance to your fathers. And I thought how gloriously and honorably I would set you among my children and give you a pleasant land, a goodly heritage, the most beautiful and best inheritance among all nations. And I thought you would call me my father and would not turn away from following me. Surely, as a wife treacherously and faithlessly departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously and faithlessly with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. A voice is heard on the bare heights, the weeping and pleading of the sons of Israel, because they have perverted their ways. They have eagerly forgotten the Lord their God. Return, O faithless sons, says the Lord, and I will heal your faithlessness. And they answer, behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is the hope of salvation from the hills and from the tumult and noisy throng on the mountains. Truly in and with the Lord our God rests the salvation of Israel. We have been ruined as a nation by our faithlessness and idolatry. For the shameful thing has consumed all for which our fathers toiled from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. Let us lie prostrate in our shame, and let our dishonor and confusion cover us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers. From our youth even to this day, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. This is the end of today's scripture reading. For today's devotional, I want to take you back to the first chapter of Jeremiah and read a few verses. And it is the verse that starts at verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In the Amplified Translation, it says, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, obviously, this word came to the prophet Jeremiah as a young man, and he was told by the Lord that he had been chosen for God's specific work before he was even formed in the womb, or you could say before he was even conceived in his mother's womb and began to develop there. He had already been called by God, chosen by God, set apart for a specific purpose of God. This is applicable to Jeremiah specifically, but it also is applicable to all of our lives. There's not a single one of God's children that he did not know before they were formed in the womb and approved of and chosen and set apart and specifically consecrated for a specific purpose for God's work. Regardless of the circumstances of your birth, God knew you before you were formed in the womb. Before you were conceived, regardless of your parental situation, God already chose you, allowed you to be born, called you for a specific purpose in life. In Jeremiah's case, he was chosen and appointed as a prophet to the nation, someone who is going to speak for God to nations. Not everyone has the same calling. In fact, there are so many different callings that God has for all the multitude of people on the earth. Yet, he chose you. He formed you in that womb. He set you apart for a specific purpose. Oftentimes, people feel like they were a mistake. Nobody intended for them to be born. But that's a lie. God intended for you to be born. Regardless of the circumstances of your birth, God knew you before you were conceived. God appointed you, set you apart, and separated you for a specific purpose. The important thing is that you find out what that purpose is. In Jeremiah's case, he was told very clearly that he was appointed as a prophet. And then when he was told that, he objected. The very next verse says, he told the Lord, Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, I'm only a youth. So he started out by objecting that he was too young, that he wasn't eloquent of speech, and therefore he was unqualified in his own mind. But I love what God responds to him. The Lord said to him, Say not, I'm only a youth. For you shall go to all whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth, and the Lord told him, Behold, I've put my words in your mouth. Now, this is very significant for us. Because regardless of what God has called you to do, he then will also give you the ability to do it. This picture of God stretching forth his hand and touching Jeremiah's mouth and then telling him, Behold, I've put my words in your mouth, shows us that whatever calling God has called you for, he has also stretched out his hand, touched you, and imparted an ability, an anointing, a gifting to do the thing that God's called you to do. So the important thing for each person hearing this devotional today is to first of all ascertain from God what is it that God designed you to do before you were even conceived in the womb. It's very possible that you are not doing what it is that you're supposed to be doing because you don't have a revelation of what it is you were called to do. Maybe you're working in a job that has absolutely no relation to what God has anointed or gifted you to do. God wants you to find out what it is, and then with His help and by His grace, begin to step toward the thing for which you were created, designed by God, purposed by God to be doing in the earth, and then to trust that God has also touched you and gifted you and imparted to you a supernatural ability to be able to do the thing for which He called you. God isn't call somebody to a certain task and give him no ability to do it. He has no interest in you trying to make it happen in your own strength with your own fleshly effort, but instead he wants you to flow in the gift, or you could say anointing, that he's already placed upon your life for the thing to which you have been called. But you can't walk in it if you don't know what it is. So it's very important for you to spend time in prayer, to seek the Lord and ask Him, what is it, God, that you have created me for? When I was just a young person, I was actually in graduate school, had just been introduced to the Lord and was being witnessed to actually by a young man in my university about God, and he said something very profound to me that really got my attention. He told me, "You'll never be happy until you find out what it is that God created you for." And that hit me very deeply because I was very confused. I was in a graduate program that I was very unhappy with. I wasn't enjoying it. It didn't seem to fit me. I didn't know what I was really doing. I was trying to pursue a certain line of education toward a certain career goal, and yet it wasn't feeling right to me, but I didn't know the Lord, so I didn't know how to ask God for counsel. And this young man told me, "You are never going to be happy in your life until you find out what it is that God created you for." And that was one of the wisest things that anyone ever told me. And it really set me on a course of seeking the Lord to find out, why did He create me? And the path I was on was absolutely not the right one to get me to where God wanted me to be. And so, though now I am walking in the path that God created me for, and I love it and I enjoy it, it has made my life full of joy and purpose and meaning. But at that point in my life, I didn't know. And therefore, I wasn't on that path. And I needed God to help me to find that. And I want to encourage you. God has a very specific purpose for which He created you. And you'll never be happy in your life until you find out what it is that God created you for. Jeremiah got that revelation at a young age. Some of us don't get it until much later, but get it. That's the most important thing. And then by His grace and with His help, you can step onto that path and begin to pursue the thing for which God made you, and you will find more joy in that than in anything in your life. So I want to encourage you to pursue that and ask the Lord to show you, and He will, because He gave Jeremiah a very clear explanation of what it is that God had called him for. And because of that and his acceptance of it, God touched him and anointed him to do it. And then he began on a path of fulfilling that throughout the rest of his life. So God bless you as you pray and as you seek the Lord, and as you walk toward the purpose for which He made you. God bless you and give you a victorious week.